So hello to our very special guest today, Veronica, who owns Emmy Hair, mother to two, and I don't know if I can share this, but currently working on launching a new branch to your business.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get into that too, if we're allowed to talk about that. We've known each other for over two decades, if you can believe that.
Crazy. Wow, that's a long time.
I know. Are we getting old? And I've seen you grow and hustle and shift and reflect and just keep on moving through all of those years. I feel like you've come to a crossroads earlier this year, and you've been moving even more mindfully ever since.
So true. Yeah.
So we're going to dig in.
You got it.
We're going to dig in.
Yeah, I want to hear more about this crossroads and new venture, actually.
And again, feel free to share. Feel free to share whatever you want to share, whatever you don't want to share, whatever you want to keep just for yourself. You just let us know. You're leading the conversation.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for, inviting me to come on with you guys today. So much to share. So much to tell. I'm just like filtering through in my mind right now. But actually, I'm really interested in starting my own podcast. So Ooh. I've shared that with you a little bit, Barb.
Yeah.
And it's basically just like, you guys invited me on. I didn't know what to expect at all, but I assumed it was just to get the truth out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people see your reels on social media and they think they know you, or they think they have a handle on the type of person you are. There's a lot of assumptions made on social media, but mm-hmm. I feel like with podcasts, there's just that level of honesty. Would you guys say?
100%. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for like our guests to be real. Cause I guess it's like off camera, right? Quote unquote. So then I feel like everyone's a little bit more honest and a little bit more real about what the situation is behind closed doors.
For sure.
Yeah.
It takes that layer of like filter off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Guess you can say it's like everything's filtered these days, I'll be the first to admit. So it's just really nice to have this intimate circle. So thank you so much for having me on today. So what do you guys want to know first? I don't know.
I think start with your crossroad, because I'm assuming your crossroad would have led to this new venture, or was it the other way around?
So a little bit of background. So I started my business officially in 2015. And it's funny how I landed into opening my first salon, like my first physical salon, which was a second floor in an existing salon in South Granville in Vancouver. So Mark and I, we had Kingston when we were 24. And fast forward to when we started trying to conceive to have Naomi, that was like maybe 6 years after having, or 7 years after having King. It took a while for us to get pregnant. And I was sort of at a crossroad at that point. I'd say my first major crossroad in business was like, okay, am I going to start this business or am I going to have this baby? Because we had been trying to get pregnant for a couple years. And at that point, I was just like, okay, this is taking so long. Like, maybe it's just not in the cards for us. Like, maybe Kingston was meant to be an only child, which was totally, totally great, right? If that's what was meant for us, we were totally open to that. But we just felt like we wanted to give it another shot. Kingston started asking for a sibling, and we could see a fourth member of the family fitting nicely in with what we had built so far. Kingston had been through so many ups and downs with us. Like after having Kingston, Mark and I split up for a couple years, and then we actually got back together and then got married. Mm-hmm. That's the point we were at when we were trying for our second, and it just wouldn't happen. 2 years passed, and then 3 years passed. And then I was just like, you know what? I don't think it's in the cards for us. So I think I need to open my business like I initially wanted to, and then we'll see, like, we'll just go from there. This is a sign from the universe that we're supposed to do our salon. So we actually went and I found a space in, we already had our existing small mezzanine salon in South Granville, which was very, very manageable, right? It was just a portion of a salon. And that's when we were trying to conceive and like expand our family. And at that point, I was like, I could be ready for a larger scale salon, but I could also have a baby. So which one is it going to be? And then I decided, okay, I'm going to look for space, like look for retail spaces, see what I can find. And LJ, you know how that goes. Like, it's not an overnight thing. Like, you kind of comb through the city, see what you can find. So we found the perfect space on 4th and Stevens, which is now, you know, home of our kids' location. And then I signed, it happened all pretty fast when you found it, signed the lease. And then a week later, I found out I was pregnant.
So isn't that how life goes?
And I was like, motherfucker, like, I guess this is just gonna happen simultaneously. So yeah, and then the rest unraveled from there, and it's just been a series of like things falling into place after that. You know, it's like we were meant to do this. So that was in 2018. And then in 2020, we opened our second salon in Langley. And the crossroad that Barb refers to is I've just, you know, since that point of opening my first salon on the second level of that, so like the South Granville one, I'd always been told that you never want to mix business and personal, right? It's just, I don't know. It's just advice that I always get is just, you don't want the two worlds to cross because it creates problems, and you want to like, you know, you want to try to put your professional face forward to your team, and like vulnerability was not really like a thing that I knew anything about in business anyway, right? In my personal, that was different. But I came to a crossroad and I was like, you know what? What if I want to bring, like, incorporate my personal into my business? And this was sort of an awakening that came to me about a year ago. And I was like, I'm just done running my business the way I have been, where it's just like, okay, there's row at work and then there's row at home. Like, I was like, I feel like these two worlds can live, you know, simultaneously. And I think they could really benefit each other. And what I mean by that is, you know, bringing my vulnerability to work, sharing with my team, incorporating, you know, incorporating gratitudes and like meditation and wellness that I have at home into my business. And it's been really, really transformative for us just doing that. And, you know, sharing with my team what I do on a daily basis for my mental health, because I have struggled with depression and anxiety my whole life. And, you know, just, I do get, and I do understand when people say it can sometimes be challenging when you can't separate the two, because I have been on the other side of that as well. But I just think through and through, since I've adopted these new ways of thinking, you know, and sharing more with my team, I'd say it's only changed my business for the best. And like, I wish I had done it sooner, right? And I just wish I had brought my true self more into my business versus what you're supposed to do in business and like how you're supposed to conduct, you know, business and interaction with staff and so forth. So yeah, it's still trial and error, but it's been working. I've been more focused on, okay, how do I want to do things? Not like how should I be doing things, but it's like truly, how do I want to do things? How do I want to talk to my staff? How do I want to strategize? And like, how do I want to build my brand? And like, what do I want my brand to represent? Right. So we've been very focused on mental health in our business. We've been able to work with certain foundations to raise awareness around mental health and raise money as well. So we're very grateful for that. Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like too, maybe in the more recent years, businesses in general have kind of been creating their own rules. Because before, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, easily, it's a very, a lot of things are very male dominated, like mm-hmm. white male dominated, and it's totally kind of to that standard mm-hmm. where they're like, don't share emotion, like, especially for women, like, oh, you're weak if you show that you're having a bad day or you're upset about something. Whereas now I feel like life has really shifted, not just in business, but for a lot of people, even like schools and how friends interact with each other, where you do share more about your mental wellness, just because that's kind of the foundation of you. So you want to like put your best foot forward, and you can do that by being like honest and really sharing what you're going through, I feel like.
Yeah. And that's, I can totally see that shift as well. You know, having, I'd say, pretty equal amounts of like male entrepreneur friends and female, right? But honestly, I personally could not do it any other way. Like, I just, you know, even if I wanted to, you know, be more traditional and like old, like have the old way of thinking and not be as evolved, like I could not, like mm-hmm. I could not function in that environment. So, and I was lucky enough to learn that early on, that, you know what, I'm just going to break the mold. Like, I don't care, like, that I'm not supposed to do X, Y, Z, or that, you know, others before me have done X, Y, Z. I need to do it my way, because it will not work for me any other way. Right. And there's a lot of things that come up when you try to break the mold and like break the cycles of like, let's just say, oh, I don't want to get too much into this, but just like the way we've been conditioned to think, you know, mm-hmm. with immigrant mm-hmm. parents, or like just being a female, right? So breaking that and you know, kind of breaking out of that brings up a lot of shame. It brings up a lot of guilt. And like, I was like, I don't care. I'm still going to do it. I'm going to push through, and I'm not going to put myself in a box, right? It's like Sheryl Sandberg. I mm-hmm. deserve a seat at the table. So like, it's, mm-hmm. it's like, honestly, I don't have anything against somebody who can work more traditional and, you know, play the roles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I think power to you, if that's how you want to function and that's your ultimate goal. But for me, I would have no business if I did it that way. Like, I could not, it was not sustainable for me. Like, my being was yearning for more. Mm-hmm, like, it just, mm-hmm. it's like breaking free out of my pot. Like, I couldn't even if I tried. So it's, mm-hmm. people have to do what's right for them. Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, and of the handful of team members that I've met, they're fully aligned with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, at my salon?
Yeah, I feel like that makes a huge difference as well, if your team and your people are aligned with that too.
Yeah, like, we've been so lucky to have the team, like, to attract the people that we have mm-hmm. and like build the team that we have. It's been, again, trial and error. Like, it's been challenging finding those gems, as what we like to call them. But, you know, for once, we can truly say within our business that every single person that's there really aligns with our core values. And for us, as soon as we got really clear on what our core values were, we attracted those people that just, you know, that believe in what we're doing. And that really want to be a part of something that we've created. So that was not easy, but we're very lucky to have what we have, for sure. Like, people is our hardest area of business, for sure. You know, like, recruiting the right people, being able to have that culture and like value fit, and then also like having that motivation to buy into this vision that we've created has been the most challenging, but we have a solid team right now, for sure.
How big is your team?
I think we're about 16 right now.
Wow, good for you. You should be proud because, right, like you said, finding the people is the hardest part. It really is. And so you should, oh, that's amazing that you can find 16 people that you truly believe, like, help carry that vision.
Oh, thank you. I do.
Yeah, that's
no,
huge.
It's so nice that you're saying that, but really, I can't take much credit for that. Like, I just feel like these people truly are accountable for their, their livelihood, their happiness. And like, they have so much gratitude that it's also like, I believe that they attracted the business into their lives by the way they are as well. Right. So it's just like manifesting. And I like to say that our business is just a little hub for them to have their business within, right? So it's like, don't think of this as like, I work for Emmy. It's like you have this home or like this umbrella that you can work under and that you can thrive in and be creative and whatever. And just here are some tools that may help you along the way. But they're all very hardworking. They're very dedicated to their craft. And like I said, we're just like, we're so lucky to have cross paths with them. Because they did manifest this. I truly believe that. Yeah.
But you created that space. You created a space for someone to feel, like they have a home.
Right.
Right? It's huge. Take the compliment. It's fucking huge.
Thank you. No, that's amazing. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And like, obviously, I'm only half of that because my sister's the other half is not with us today.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, that's helpful too, right? Having my sister and I are the ultimate balance of energies. Like, I could never do like what she does in operations on a daily basis for the business. I could never do, and I could never maintain the way she does. You know, I have done it, but I just don't do it as well. So like, she's a powerhouse. Like, I don't even like she's helped build this and execute like to make it what it is. For me, I'm more of the visionary. Like, I have the ability to see things like 10 years from now and have a vision and a vision that I want to create. And then my sister is like the master of execution and she gets us there. So it's like, because don't even try to tell her to think a day in advance, because girlfriend does not know even a week in advance what anything's gonna look like, right? But like, I have that ability, and then she knows how to just bring it to life. Like, she just like has her checklists and she's like, okay, this has to happen. She has her assistant Serena that is equally committed and dedicated as she is, and they just like knock out the admin and like the anything that needs to be done within the business. So that is like, I have to commend them for that. But it takes a team. It truly takes a village. It really does, And when I realized and when I learned early on that I could give away a piece of my pie and scale my business tenfold, I was throwing that pie around like it was no one's business. I was just like, pie for you and for you. Like, I didn't need it all for myself, right? So as soon as I realized like, okay, I could expand the business by trusting people to do their jobs, it was very empowering for me. And it took my business from here to literally to here. And I don't want to make that sound easy at all, because it wasn't. But like,
I was going to say, yeah, how do you do that? Because I hate letting go of things. Like, ask my family, I'm the worst.
Barb, I definitely have control issues. Like, I'll be
me
the first
too.
To say that. But I just like I said, like, I just knew what my, like, it's so important to know where you want to go, right? So we have our annual goals and then our, 3 year and then our big picture 10 year goal. And it's just like working backwards from there. So it's like, okay, if I want to get to that goal in 10 years, what needs to happen? I can't do it myself. So it was just about me working backwards and seeing, okay, what does the projection look like? Like, what, where do we want to go? And then kind of formulating backwards and being like, okay, well, I'm, you know, if I do it myself, it'll take 50 years and might not even get there. Or we can do it faster. I can leverage my time by just, you know, delegating a little bit and like collaborating, I like to say, because I'm always like, what do you guys think we should do? Right? Like our meetings look something like, okay, guys, what do you think? Because then you have three minds and three opinions versus your own in your head. And then we kind of just pick and choose. There's a lot of talking about like, hey, that's not going to work. This is going to work. I was on a 5-minute meeting with my sister, for example, before I hopped on this meeting, and something just popped into my head. Like I said, I get these visions and I just call her like, oh my God, this is our business relationship to a T. Okay. I'll tell you this one thing that I told her. I called her and I was like, meetings have to be more efficient. Like, we're not efficient enough. And she's like, okay, tell me more. Like, what do you mean? And I was like, you guys have to talk about what you're going to do for the day, but in one sentence verse and a few words versus like five sentences. And she was like, okay. And I'm like, because you guys, you know, when we're trying to get our ideas out, really you can get things out in like one sentence versus like a whole paragraph in a 5-minute conversation. And she's like, done. So I guarantee you, because they're hopping on an admin meeting today, that's exactly what they'll do. Like,
so amazing.
And these things come to me and I call her and then she fires away with it. Like, she's amazing. Right. And then she's like, okay, got it. And that's what they'll do today. I'm sure. I don't even need to be there. I know that's what they'll do. Cause I'm here right now. So they're working right
now. I love that you guys are so in sync. Like, just the synergy is there. And was it always like that with you and your sister, or with you and the team, or were there people along the way that you're like, okay, this isn't the right fit, you're fired, or you know what I mean? Like, it's very hard to find that synergy where you can just share an idea and you're like, okay, I know it's going to be executed. I don't even have to worry.
You know what? My sister and I have always had that. We've always had that. I think it's just about, you know, going through basically like growing up together. I'm 4 years older than her. And so we weren't too close, but we weren't too far apart. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like it was a perfect age gap for sisters. Like, it just, for us anyway, because she, like, I was older enough for her to be like, oh, like googly eyed over me. Right. But like also not too much to where I could take advantage of it. Like, she will stand her ground and stuff. But yeah, my sister and I have always had that. And I think that it's been an exceptional example for our team, right? Because our managers will be like, oh my God, you guys literally just yelled at each other 2 seconds ago and you're like best friends again. And I was like, yeah, it's business. Like, you just say what you have to say and you got, and then it's like nothing. And then 2 minutes later, we're like, hey, what's for lunch? And they're like, wow. And I think it's been such an amazing example for the team, really, because they're just like, okay, so that's like, she didn't take that personally. Mm. It was strictly a business move. So yeah, just, we've always gotten along and we've always, we know each other's quirks and stuff. You're saying synergy. Like, we just know each other so well. Like, we can finish each other's sentences. That is because I truly think it's because we're sisters, but that's not to say that you can't find that a team member. Like, I think that's, you know, Serena has been able to jump into our duo and now we're a trio and it's like, it's been seamless. Like, she's just fit right in. And I think it's because we've learned not to take things personally. You know, businesses, running a business is very high stress 24/7. And we've been able to find the people we have, I think, because we've been able to implement systems like Friday morning meditation, daily gratitudes, like as a team company-wide, you know, in our pre-shift. So our company has a 15-minute pre-shift every single business day. And everybody that's working that day is a part of that circle. And we have an emotion wheel that goes around and it's like, how's everyone feeling today?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And what are you grateful for? Right. And then on Fridays, we do an extra pause. Every Friday is special. And we do a 5-minute gratitude meditation company wide. And I think that, that really helps us. That really helps us in our professional relationships with each other. You know, it helps you respect other people's boundaries when you know how they're feeling for the day. It kind of sets the tone for the whole day. It builds honesty and vulnerability, which we are a huge fan of, building that trust. And I think that's how we find the right people, right? And that's how we filter out the wrong people. Barb, to your question, like, do you find that all the time? Or like, times have you met people? Yeah. So it doesn't work out all the time. It's about 50% success rate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's just our core values will find those people for us and weed out those people for us, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So where's your business? Like, what is this new venture like leading?
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like now that you've, because it's like you've created your core and you've solidified your core, right? So now you're like, now what?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So our business has always been in two parts. It's been like product and service. Mm-hmm. So we're just developing the product side a little bit more. And my sister and I have created, I guess you can say, a sister company called Vanpro Hair. Mm-hmm. And Vanpro Hair is dedicated to helping increase profitability in other hair salons and for other hair professionals through selling our tools and our products. So it's just our wholesale distribution side. We've decided to separate the two so that ME is service and then Vanpro is like the product side. And we're developing mm-hmm. that end of the business really heavily right now. We actually just put in a big order just last week. So we're so excited. Like in about a month and a half, we'll have a huge inventory and we'll be able to sell to other salons. And we want to actually incorporate like coaching into the business as well. So business coaching for beauty salons. So what mm-hmm. we'll do is, in conjunction with our product, we'll sell a service that's to support, you know, increasing profitability, building a positive work environment, like things like that. So basically just showcasing what we've done with ME, because we've had people inquiring and just wanting to know more about that end and like how we've built that. So we're just going to use those hand in hand, like those two tools hand in hand and go from business to business. And try to help other people. Just do what we that. Like. Don't make the mistakes we made. We made so many mistakes. So, yeah, very excited.
I love that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're so excited. It's really what we're passionate about is we want to help people with hair restoration, like help people learn hair restoration so they can help other people. Because a lot of people don't know the options that they have for hair mm-hmm. restoration, right? Mm-hmm. So. As you guys know, we've built our business through being inspired by my sister's hair loss. Like when she had Maya 17 years ago, she went through hair loss because of her hormonal imbalance and changes mm-hmm. in her body. And she was 18 years old at the time. Her hair started shedding. So we want to be the hair restoration specialists. Mm-hmm. Like that's our goal. And through mm-hmm. our products, we hope to help other people. Yeah, that's what we want to do.
I love that so much.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really, you guys know, we're super passionate about doing hair. Like, it's just, it's our love.
Okay, and in the industry, do you find there are others like you? I don't know, not necessarily like you, but do you find it to be a catty industry, or are there other salons that are like, yeah, let's support you, or yeah, it'd be awesome if you can support us? Is there that like sisterhood or camaraderie, or is it more competitive?
You know what? I can think of examples of both. So it's hard to say just one. We've definitely, I mean, the way we choose to lead our business is, and this could, I don't know if this is really answering the question, but like, we have had so many salons reach out to us, and we make it our goal to give them our time, because I feel like there's not enough of that in our industry, right? Without giving, you know, too many examples, like, I just think that our industry does need more of that, like, where we support each other and we're just like, hey, like, this worked for me, what do you think? Or that didn't work for me, what do you think? There's enough business to go around, really. And I truly believe what you put out there is what you get back. And there's so many out there that don't have that figured out.
Yeah. So you align with the people in the industry who are aligned with you.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody else weeds themselves out.
For sure. And you know what, Barb? It's the same thing. Like, it's like, you attract what you are, right? So it's like, these salons that are coming to us that are collaborative, they want, like, they're like us, and they, you know, they want growth. They want to evolve. And on the other hand, we've also reached out to people that we look up to, and they've been so great. Like, they've been so great. They've been so receptive. They've been so generous with their knowledge and with their experience and their know-how, because, you know, a lot of people, lots and like generations came before us. So it's like, that's the best resource, right? And when people, like, for us, when people understand that, we believe that that's how you grow. Like, that's been the best growth tool for us, is looking to who's come before us and like just being like, hey, can I have like 30 minutes of your time? Or
I have so many questions.
I know. I'm like, what are your questions?
Okay, this is a lame one, but just so we can share with people who don't really know your story.
Yeah.
Okay, work-life balance. Obviously, you have a family, you have friends, you have a very big family, and you guys love hanging out with each other, which I think is the cutest thing.
And then
you have your nuclear family. Your kids have their own activities and their own set of friends. You have work, your sister, employees, friends. I know there's no perfect balance. Obviously, that's not a real thing. There's no 50-50 in life. But how do you find the balance for your scale in life? Or is there balance? Like, do you find that there isn't sometimes?
I'm getting better. I'm getting better at it, for sure. I feel like this is my lifelong quest, is to find that balance. I think it's different for everybody, right? I live with a lot of mom guilt, like 1,000,000 pounds of mom guilt a day. My life is driven by that guilt, that mom guilt. And I'm working on it. Okay. I'm not saying that's a positive, but I'm working on it, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I have my business because of my mom guilt. I overextend myself, and I'm at every single activity because of my mom guilt. Like, I put in one-on-one time with each kid because of, anyway, so you get what I'm saying, but it's just, I think it's a work in progress. For me, balance is different every single day I wake up. It's, you know, it's always like, okay, what the fuck do I need today now? Like, I just wake up and I'm just like, what does balance look like for me today? Right? Am I putting my phone away and not touching it today? Am I keeping my inbox closed and not looking at emails today? Like, am I going to eat a bag of chips? Because that's what I need. Like, I allow myself to do what I need to do. And I have enough shame and guilt on the, like, you know, externally, like, I absorb that. And this is obviously a problem. Like, it's not anything anyone's trying to inflict on me, but I'm learning about, like, I'm trying to learn how to mitigate that, right? And how to know that it's there, but not, you know, take that in. But I've learned that I have to wake up in the morning and I just have to ask myself, what do I need today? Right? Even if Mark, even when Mark wants to plan, he wants to plan activities with friends and this and that. And he's, you know, my husband's very social. And he's like,
oh my God. Yes. I just think about, we had this meeting where you brought somebody in so we could, you know, figure out our strengths and in business and stuff. And every single person at the table knew Mark is the social guy. There was even a mean security guard at the front door. Well, not mean, unfriendly. And Mark became friends with him, had his phone number. He's like, oh yeah, he needs to be home at this time because he needs to watch the Canucks game. And we were dying laughing. Dude. Like, oh yeah, that sounds about right.
Mark, that is my husband to a T.
It's really like, nice though.
It's what I need. Honestly, like it's what, like the universe brought us together for a reason. Yeah. Right? So it's like when he wants to do stuff, I'm like, dude, ask me in the morning. Don't ask me 2 weeks in advance. Ask me that morning and I'll let you know if we're going or not. Okay. And he's just like, oh, okay. Like I sometimes have to remind him, but like truly the work-life balance is on a daily basis. Like I just have to ask myself what I need. As much as I make a schedule to try to stick to, that's just not, I don't think as dynamic beings, I don't think that's how we flow. You know what I mean? I just, I know I don't. I need to ask myself in the morning, like, okay, what do I, like, what do I need to do today to fill my cup? Do I need to stay in bed all day? Like, do I need to ask Mark for a solid because I need to spend the day in bed because I feel like shit? Because that's what's going to happen. You know what I mean? So it's like, I've been very good at advocating for myself, right? If there's family that comes to me, and they need something from me and I cannot wholeheartedly provide it, I say no. Like learning how to say no, which was a couple years back for me, I would say just after like the beginning of 2020, I don't want to say the C word, but you know what I mean? So just during that whole time, like was when I was like, okay, like if I don't advocate for myself, and if I don't draw boundaries, nobody's going to care. No one gives a shit what my boundaries are unless I advocate for them, right? So I just learned how to say no, even to Naomi, even to my own children, right? If she's like, mommy, like, I want you to play with me. Or like if Kingston, oh, mom, can you scratch my back before bed? No, I'm tired. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Naomi, I'm not playing with you right now. It's not because I don't love you, but I'm tired. And then it's just, oh, okay.
Yeah.
like they don't feel that guilt, or they don't feel that, they don't feel unloved. They just feel heard. Right. And that's the thing. The biggest thing for me was learning how to effectively say no to people. And I think that's really helped my work-life balance a lot, which also plays into my mental health. Just the power of no, like, no, like, I don't want to do that. You know, even if it's Mark wanting to do something social that I don't want to do, cause I don't want to show up. I don't want to show up that day. Then I'm just like, you go ahead, but I'm not doing that. Before I used to put myself in a million situations a day that made me feel depleted at the end of the day and feel so unproductive. Cause I had done, I'd done a million things in a day, but none of them I really wanted to do. So I just, 2 years ago, I made that conscious decision, no more. And it's helped, but I don't have it dialed in. There's by no means do I have it dialed in. I cry a lot at night when I feel burnt out. I just, you know, sometimes I have really great days and I celebrate and I have gratitude, but there's other days where I'm like, this sucks. Like, I wish I was further along than I am because I'm really not where I had hoped to be, you know, just like the negative self-talk. But then I do have tools to help dig me out of that, which is what I pay thousands of dollars in therapy for. Right, guys? Like,
I'm like, share those. No.
Oh my God. It's just about like finding gratitude in anything. Even negative situations, right? Like there has to be something you can be grateful for here. And I try to turn it around as soon as I can. Mm-hmm. But I also allow myself to feel how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
a given amount of time, right? And mm-hmm. like, if I want to be in the shits for a couple of days, that's where I'm going to be. But I know how to get myself out of it. But yeah, I definitely, it's a work in progress. Like, I don't know if I'll ever figure it out fully, but I try. I know that I give 110% a day to.
Yeah, that's awesome.
To be better.
There, what is your like reoccurring, what is a reoccurring like lesson? Do you have a reoccurring lesson that you find yourself? Like catch yourself like in business or in life in general, like is there something that's like constantly like, oh, I'm doing this again, or you know,
there's so many. I'm like, I don't know which one to pick. I would say the biggest hurdle for me in all areas goes back to my childhood trauma, you know, like mm-hmm. growing up with the parents that I had and the family that I had, without sharing too much, it was just like, I constantly go back to my little girl, like feeling, you know, unloved or feeling unheard or unsafe. And I'm working towards growing out of that. That has affected all areas of my life, you know, business, my marriage, being a mother, like being me, truly just being me, like standing alone as a person even. So I'm working, going through the motions of breaking through that, changing the cycle, you know, so that my kids don't have to go through the same thing that I went through. That's a huge one. I think that one just goes back to self-love, right? So I'm trying to learn how to give myself that love that maybe that was not there as a child or not fully there how I needed it to be as a child. Mm-hmm. And this thing has been hanging over my head. Like, I'm 39 now, for 39 years. And it's a constant challenge.
Are you going to have like, I've done that.
Oh,
are you going to have, yeah. Are you going to have like, I don't want to call them a facilitator, but they're like a referee almost.
Like a mediator?
I do recommend someone out of the situation, but you're all close enough to feel safe to be open and honest in front of. That's can kind really of just idea. Be like when they feel the situation is getting heated, like, stop, like, take a second, you know, or else if they feel like the situation just needs a break, I highly, highly recommend finding a ref. I don't know what to call them, but just a person outside of the situation, because situations like that are, you know, when you have so much, there's a lot of hurt, you know, and there's a lot of like, I love you, but I want to like, and I want to find a way to get past this. And Filipino parents, sometimes you're just like, that's not what I meant. Like, that's not what I said. And they hear a thing and you're just like, that, and it could go a different way. And you're just, it's always good to have.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
We'll have to, I haven't really talked to my siblings about like the structure of it or anything like that, because we set the date a couple of weeks ago, but like we would definitely have to agree on something like that. I think that's a good idea, because I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's exactly, it could go really well, but it's always nice.
I don't know.
Yeah, someone to just be like, you guys need a break, or, you know, you guys need to, you know, this person needs to be heard or whatever, right? Like,
yeah, because it's such a weird topic to talk about, you know, 30 some odd years ago, what happened. Like, and you know what, one of my biggest regrets is like, we didn't get to do this with my dad, and he passed away 10 years ago. So the way I sold it to my siblings was like, my sister could do without this. She's just like, I'm out. Like, she, you know, I didn't want her to be a part of it unless she wanted to. And she's like, I don't really need anything. She's like, I feel like the damage has been done and there's no going back to what I would want to change anyway. And I'm like, okay, well, if you would like to join, it might be good just for you to, 'cause she's the closest thing to me. And I was like, you know, I would like you to be there if you could be, but I understand if you don't want to be. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. But we didn't get to do this with my dad, and you know, it's something I really wanted to do. I it was important for me to have that with him, and I had planned that even before he passed away. So and I didn't get to do it. So I'm just like, okay, maybe we should do this, you know, make it a priority. Just a talk.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting.
That's a good closer.
Yeah. That is actually,
because that's like the biggest, that's a great question. That's like the biggest thing. It's always in my mind.
Yeah, because it probably root like everything roots from that one childhood trauma or multiple, you know, but like it'll root from that, and it really affects everything, right? 100%. Or even if you don't notice it, right?
Like, even subconsciously, it's always like
that. Yeah,
where it's always like, "Good morning," like
it's like, "I'm still here with you."
Damn it! Yeah. Exactly.
And it's funny, sometimes you like don't realize you're in it, and then you come out of it and you're like, oh my god, like that was the little girl inside of me crying, like, and I just didn't realize, and I didn't put two and two, and I'm like, maybe I should fix that.
For sure. Oh yeah, it's been like, it's it's been eating away at me for so long, and to finally identify what I need, that was half the battle, is like, okay, what do I need here, right? Again, like, considering my boundaries, what do I need? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, friend. Thank you so much. Yeah. I can't wait to hear it.
So also people can find you. What's your website? So we know.
Yeah. So our website is www.emmyhair.ca. And our Instagram is emmy.hair. So Emmy is spelled E-M-M-E.
Got here. And then for your product line, are you going to be doing separate branding for that, or is it all going to fall under Emmy?
Yeah. So we'll have a full on separate website and separate branding for that. And the name for our website there is vanprohair.com.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So vanprohair.com.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank
you. Is it already up and running, or?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
We've been actually just messaging around for quotes. If you guys know a good web person for e-commerce, let me know.
I'm like,
e-commerce is a different beast, you know. It's like,
it is,
yeah, it's a lot. We've got over 100 products, so it's like,
wow,
our own private label. Yeah, so it's like, great, like, it's gonna be quite the task.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited for you.
Okay. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
All right. That's it. Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Rise Podcast by R. Bahai. Join us next Thursday as we interview LJ's friend, Sean. From the corporate world to golf shop owner and soon to be author, hear her story and all about her journey. See you then.